Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com. Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show live from the Auction Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, or arizonasports.com if you're listening at work. Maybe your boss doesn't know you're listening at
Our
work.
Our app is blowing up. And more people are downloading the app and using the app than ever before. People love the Arizona Sports app. Download it.
Yeah.
It's free. Download the app.
Get it on your phone. In fact, we got some family in from out of town, and they were asking me about the reach of the station, you know, like how far it goes. I said, yeah.
London. We go to London.
You didn't tell them it's the blowtorch?
I didn't tell them it was the blowtorch. It used to be the blowtorch. I used to call it that once upon a time. And I said, but
50,
you know what?
50,000 watts
the
or
thing,
whatever
the
it
thing
is.
About it is that when you download that app, reach doesn't, you know, it matters. It's nice. It's great. But when you've got that app, you can literally take the show with you wherever you want to go.
I got a pilot buddy, Andy Venn. Andy, the pilot, British Airways, lives in London, listens to the show every day on the app.
Yep.
Every day.
Just on the app. There it is right there.
Flies a flight from London to here and then back. And then when he's in London, he listens to the show
or
in London.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play and just have it downloaded to your device every day and listen whenever you want. However you want to consume us, we're just happy that you're consuming us here on the Burns and Gambo show. That's our motto, right?
These were relevant.
However you consume us, we're just happy that you're consuming us. And that also includes the Doug and Wolf show, who this morning had Diamondbacks team president and CEO Derek Hall on the show. I didn't expect him to say a lot about the stadium issue on the record because, you know, I'm sure it's at the preliminary stages, but he was asked by the fellas if the decision has already been made to leave Chase Field.
No, we have not. And, you know, it's too soon, obviously. It's going to be a process that we'll go through, and it's not one that obviously we'll want to comment on as we're going through that process. But, I mean, right now, you know, the good thing is we are in control of the stadium. You know, we're going to continue to make the stadium look as good as we possibly can for our fans and focus on the team on the field. And that's where it is right now. That's where our focus is.
But Derek Hall did give what I thought was kind of an interesting answer. Wolf was really and has been kind of pushing the idea about remodeling Chase and whether that's an option. Here's what Derek said about that.
Anything's possible, but now that we have the right to go look,
right.
You know, that's very exciting for
okay.
us. And I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know if it's here, if it's downtown, if it's anywhere within the county. Who knows? But it's just nice having the flexibility now and the freedom to look. You know, this building has obviously a lot of needs, and we're going to address those needs, and we're going to keep it safe for the fans and in the best condition possible and make it look as good as it always has, because we've been responsible for maintenance since day one, and that's why the building looks so good, and we're going to continue to fulfill that commitment mm-hmm. for sure.
Derek's going to say everything right now because he's got to, in some ways, appease the people that want them to stay at Chase and Phoenix, and because there's negotiations and bargaining, you know.
Sure.
maybe Phoenix does find a way to bargain with them and create an opportunity for them to stay. We don't know. I mean, my feeling is that they are better off somewhere else. They are better off in a newer stadium, that, you know, a billion-dollar stadium somewhere up the 101 by Talking Stick. I know what the model is. I've spoken with enough people. I know what the model is for organizations and how they want to make money now. It's not just about building an arena or a stadium and then having everybody else come around you and make money off of the fact that you're the anchor tenant. It's about you controlling a lot of that real estate as well, the development project. So I think that's the direction they're going to go in. But I think Derek's got to be careful. You don't want to rule out Phoenix and say, we're absolutely planning to get out of here right now. And because, you know, Phoenix has been your partner for 20 years, and you want to show them some respect, and you know they love having you. And Phoenix has been good to the Diamondbacks, and they've hosted a World Series, and So I do think in some ways you want to negotiate in good faith with Phoenix, but if they can't give you what you can get somewhere else, then it becomes a no-brainer.
And to that point, you don't want to alienate Phoenix either, because there's a chance, I suppose, that you start looking at other sites and financially you just can't make it work.
True.
Either because you don't have the money for it or because you're not going to get the taxpayer money for it.
Then you negotiate the best deal you can with Phoenix.
So you don't want to alienate the city of Phoenix and the downtown Phoenix partnership and all that stuff. But what I thought was interesting about that answer was, everything's an option, but boy, we're really excited about looking around. And maybe I'm kind of overemphasizing that part of the answer, but just the acknowledgement that they're excited to see what's out there. And he kind of said the same thing when he was asked a follow-up question about if they have a responsibility to downtown Phoenix.
Yeah, it's always in the back of our minds, and nobody cares more about downtown than Ken Kendrick. I mean, he is, the lead funder when it comes to the financing of Cityscape, which has been awesome here, and now the next step with the grocery store coming in. There's a lot of excitement for a lot of us down here, and we've been a big part of the growth here. So obviously we do, but I think we feel more of a responsibility for our fans in general and for, season ticket holders and providing the best possible fan experience. And we just have to see what that looks like. If there's something, a better opportunity out there that would bring better results to our fans and to our players, then we owe them that as well. That's a big responsibility of ours as well.
And again, to your point, tip of the cap, a little bit of respect for downtown Phoenix, Cityscape.
But enhancing fan experience.
Our responsibility is to our fans and not to downtown Phoenix. And he didn't come out and say that, but there was that kind of that but right in the middle of that. Yeah, Phoenix is this, Phoenix is that, but da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm in favor of a smaller stadium. This stadium's too damn big, and I don't like it. It's too big. They need to get a 38,000 to 40,000 seat stadium max. And now if you could redo this whole stadium, maybe, but I think by the time you do that, that amount of money should just go into a new stadium with new amenities and new everything. And 25 years is about the time frame nowadays. It is. It's about, now they're at 20, but by the time they get a new building built and ready to move in, now you're at 25, okay? Anything under that, I'm not in favor of. Now you go come to me at 20, hey, we've spent 25 years here. Can we get a new stadium? I believe you could start pushing that envelope right there at 25 years. The Phoenix thing is interesting. Look, I like going out. Okay, I'm going to the game today. Right after the show, I'm going to the Diamondback game. Okay, I'm going to shoot down there, and I'll be there in 15 minutes. Now, if it's all the way by talking stick at the 101, that's not good for me. So for me, I'm just now let's, for perspective. How long does it take me to get to the stadium from here? 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take me to get to the 101?
Half hour.
It's going to be double the time. So for me, that becomes more of an inconvenience. But I think a lot of people, I was talking to some people in the West Valley, said, hey, listen, man, you guys are talking about the West Valley, and you're wrong. We shoot around the 101, we'll get there in the same time. So if we're in the West Valley, I've had people tell me.
I had a couple of people tell me the same thing.
You guys are wrong. You're off base. It's going to take us the same amount of time. See, we're going to go either right or we're going to go left. We're going to go right to go downtown Phoenix. We're going to go left to go around the 101. It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to, it's not going to be that much of a burden for the West Valley people to get there. Look, my gut feeling, they'll be out of there within 5 years and I'll have a new stadium. That's
my gut feeling, too.
That's my gut feeling.
And you know what? As long as the taxpayers aren't burdened with it or overburdened with it, I'm fine with that. I will continue to say this, and I'm sure this is part of their investigation of where to put a new stadium. When they're figuring out how much the taxpayers are going to be involved in this, be careful, because there is just not an appetite for that.
In this state and in a lot of states, it's very hard to get taxpayer money into buildings and arenas now for filthy rich owners.
Yep.
It is. It's becoming harder and harder now to get taxpayer dollars. And you know what? The other thing is politicians, because you can't win. If you're a politician and you vote, you got problems like trying to get raises for teachers right now.
Right.
Okay. You want to put the money into a sports facility when teachers are trying to get raises? When potholes need to be fixed and bridges need to be fixed and roads and police officers and all of that, it's hard to justify for a politician. It's hard to justify. Yeah, I'm going to take this tax dollar and we're going to spend it on this. That doesn't fly for politicians.
We mentioned the Burns and Gimbo podcast. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android and you will never miss any of the show, like ever. It's the Burns and Gimbo podcast. It's brought to you this week by Presidential Pools. It's something the Cardinals haven't used in over 5 years. How exactly will a fullback work with this offense? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool, or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text Carpool to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Did you hear of any Doug and Wolf this morning?
A little bit.
Wolf was on cloud nine over
about
the fact that they signed
fullback.
Oh, yeah. Just on.
I think they had a
paradigm shift, Basinonians.
Who had more touchdowns and, yeah, Wolf or the new guy?
Well, they're statistically,
Derek Coleman.
They're kind of a comp, right?
Yeah. Knock it off.
No, I'm not going to knock it off, Wolf. When I got in my car and I heard you guys talking about Derek Coleman today, I'm like, he's going to say the words paradigm shift in 3, 2, and 1.
That is an outrage.
It's not an outrage, Wolf. It's the truth. It's the truth.
It's a paradigm shift, Basinonians. Oh, no way.
You say enough big words, is 90% of your audience like me who just doesn't understand it? We just like, okay, he must know what he's talking about.
Hey, you know what? I've been impressed with some of the big words you've been using lately. Every now and then you throw out one that goes, well, I didn't know Gambo knew what that meant.
I've expanded my dictionary.
That's good
vocabulary.
To know.
No, it would be vocabulary, not my dictionary. I expanded my vocabulary.
The dictionary holds the vocabulary, so it's kind of the same thing. The Arizona Cardinals today signed themselves the fullback that we were speculating on yesterday that they probably would. Veteran fullback. Back Derek Coleman got signed to a one-year deal, 6 feet, 233 pounds. He is the first legally deaf player in the history of the National Football League. The Cardinals have a couple of other fullback options. They've been tinkering with the idea of Elijah Penny there. They also added a rookie fullback out of Wisconsin as an undrafted guy. But just, and I know there are probably some people who are rolling their eyes at us about making a big deal out of the Cardinals signing a fullback, but considering where this organization's been the last 5 years and who their offensive mastermind has been, it is, sorry, Wolf, you're right, it's kind of a paradigm shift. It's a brand new way of thinking, and it's got us all wondering, what exactly is this Cardinals offense going to look like with a fullback in there? Because under BA, we never had to think about it.
They haven't had a real fullback in 6 years. They used to have a guy named Anthony Sherman, and they traded him to Kansas City. I think he's still there. And that's the last time they legitimately had a real fullback. The amount of times they used the fullback last year, you can count on one hand. But now they have a fullback. They will use a fullback now. Now, Coleman was the best guy out there. So, and a really good special teams player, too, which adds to it. So you get a really good special teams player and you get a fullback. What percentage of plays are they going to use a fullback? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I couldn't get an answer when I tried because they haven't figured that out. They haven't put the playbook in as far as they just got this guy today. You know, they just got him. Now they got to figure out what works. Is David Johnson comfortable with the fullback? Is the fullback going to be used to help with pass protection, to help pick up the blitz, to help keep, Sam Bradford or Josh Rosen upright? I mean, does David Johnson like having another guy opening up a hole for him, two guys in the backfield? I mean, there's a lot of things to look at, but he is a very good special teams player, and they are going to use the fullback now for the first time in about 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce Arians, this is March 20th of 2013, so basically a couple months after he got hired. No, I am not a fullback guy.
I'm not a fullback guy. Never have been. I want tight ends who are multiple, and the more they can do, the better. If you're a defensive coordinator and I send in a fullback and take out a tight end, I'm going to get your best call for that. All right? If I've got two tight ends and you don't know if one of them's going to play a fullback or one of them's going to split out wide, you're going to give me a down and distance call.
Year later, basically said the same thing.
A lot of it is depending on the tailback. And is there a tight end who can play fullback extremely well? No, that's the best of both worlds. Because you put a true fullback in the game, you're going to get their best call against that. But if you got two tight ends that are versatile, they don't know what the heck you're going to come out in. That's the beauty of two tight ends who are versatile.
So,
yeah, but the one thing, the great thing about fullbacks back in the old days were if you got really good at it, you could literally tell, we're going to run the ball right here. And you can't.
And like, there's not a thing you can do about it.
There's nothing you could do.
Yeah.
So if you get to that point, you know, I always loved Maurice Carthon with the Giants, and he would blow holes open for Joe Morris. Everybody in the building knew what they were going to do. Going to hand the ball off to Joe Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And Maurice Carthon's going to blow some linebacker up, and Joe Morris is going to go rush for 5 yards. And we're just going to keep doing that and wearing you down. So Bruce likes the, I'm going to put two tight ends out there, and you don't know what I'm going to do. Well, if you get really good at running the football, you could literally tell them, you can bring them all up in the box. It's okay. We're running the ball, and we're going to wear you out. We're going to go get 4 yards right here. And you could, it doesn't matter because, you know, our offensive line is going to blow up your defensive line, and our fullback is going to hit somebody so hard they're going to knock him into next year, and our running back's going to find the hole and go get me 4, 5, or 6 yards. So the teams that have been successful running the ball, it wasn't deception. It wasn't deception. It was that they got so good at it that it didn't matter. That you didn't need deception. You didn't have to confuse anybody or make them guess, hey, we're going to run the ball on this play. Try to stop us. Yeah. And they couldn't.
I just Googled. I'm just kind of curious because it's been so long since we've had to think about fullbacks.
Makovic. They had a fullback named Makovic here, right? Then they had the fullback that got arrested doing all the drugs. The guy that was selling all the drugs. What was his name?
The
Cardinals. They had a fullback. He got involved in like selling drugs and got arrested.
I don't remember that.
Oh God.
I don't remember that. What I was going to say though is that last year in the NFL, about 20 NFL teams are still basically in the fullback market. Pro Football Focus graded 18 different guys at the position in 2017. Some guys showed up at the NFL Combine, so it's still there. It's still, but to your point, the fullback. There is versatility that is demanded out of the fullback, and that's kind of what Bruce Arians didn't like about fullbacks, but there was nothing versatile about them. You do want fullbacks who can catch the ball on a swing pass every now and then. You do want fullbacks who can go out in a pattern, a short pattern, and be able to catch the ball. Not someone who's just in there to be a battering ram necessarily, but somebody who can add a little versatility to your offense as well.
10% of the time?
Yeah, no, I mean, not very often, but just enough to keep them people honest. Guessing. But
Dennis McKinley, Google's an amazing thing. Dennis McKinley was the Cardinal fullback that got arrested in a, you know, with 1,000 pounds of marijuana, distributing it.
Should have played for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smuggled it from Mexico to a South Phoenix warehouse.
I don't remember him at all.
Dennis McKinley.
You can say the name 100 times. I don't remember him.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't recall him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I remember him because of the drug bust, not because of anything he did on a football field.
Raiders coach John Gruden at his combine press conference when he got the job, like a month after he got the job, said he wanted to, quote, throw the game back to 1998, close quote. I would like to have a fullback, he said. They're a dying breed in football. I think it gives your offense a lot of deception, close quote.
I could be coming back.
Paradigm shift.
Well, because if it works for some team, it's a copycat league. Then other teams are going to want that fullback. Hey, if it works. But again, you got to be good at it, because if you have the fullback in, most defensive calls are going to be they're running the football. Yes, deception every once in a while. You have the fullback go out and catch a pass out of the backfield. Sure, but most of the time, you're going to run the football straight down their throat, and you're going to tell them you're doing it.
Eagles didn't use one. The Patriots and the Steelers often would. Roosevelt Nix is a guy who kind of played the fullback role for the Steelers in some of their offensive sets. I'll just be curious. I'll be curious to see how it works, how it looks, how he does, how many times they use it, how they incorporate it.
Oh, they're going to use it.
Sure. I mean, if this was considered one of the best fullbacks on the market. I mean, there's not a ton of market demand for those guys, but I will be curious to see how they use it, how often they use it, and what it looks like.
It just goes to show you one thing. God, we're going to have such a different switch from Bruce Arians.
I know. See, that's the thing.
It's going to be so different.
And you know what?
It's going to look like a foreign language.
And that's it. It's not so much the fullback necessarily that I'm intrigued by, but the offense. How different is it going to look? How different is it going to run? We're so used to no risk it, no biscuit. And guys trying to blow the top off the defense and run down the field. How different is this going to look with Mike McCoy?
I mean, you got much different, right?
Yeah, I would assume. If they're
much
signing
different
fullbacks, yes.
Right.
I would assume so.
Right, they signed the fullback.
They signed a fullback.
They're going to run the football.
And other than J.J. Nelson, I don't know if they really have a blow the top off the defense kind of guy.
They let John Brown go. They let Jerron Brown go. And I don't even think they're going to use J.J. Nelson that much. I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford is not a no risk it, no biscuit quarterback. He's an accurate passer, short to intermediate passes, short to intermediate, good accurate route running and good throws, and move the ball down the field that way instead of chunk plays.
NFL analysts are already looking towards the 2019 draft. Yeah, I'm serious. They already are. And it illustrates just how much of a steal the Cardinals might have gotten with their 10th overall pick in this year's draft. We'll explain why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 62620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Saw yet another story today praising the Arizona Cardinals for drafting Josh Rosen. Somebody on NFL.com, not Bucky Brooks, who is officially driving the Josh Rosen fan bus, right? Isn't that Bucky Brooks from
yesterday? Brooks.
Yeah, not Bucky Loves Brooks, him. Somebody else on NFL.com. Rookie quarterback most likely to lead all rookie quarterbacks in wins in 2018. Josh Rosen, Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
I know, right? He also had, I'm not sure who it was who wrote this.
I'm just going to cut Sam Bradford now. This is ridiculous. Sam,
we thank you, but man, we drafted the next.
Do you hear the things they're saying about Josh Rosen?
Joe Montana / Tom Brady / Aaron Rodgers, and we just have no need for you.
Living in a Hall of Fame, man. We got to cut you now. I'm baffled by all this stuff. I am. I'm baffled by all these people who are sitting there, because to me, I mean, it's fitting a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't make any sense. Josh Rosen's going to have the most wins out of any quarterback. How? He's not going to play as much as the other guys.
What if any rookie quarterback?
Rookie quarterbacks. Okay. He's not going to play as much. Now, his team might be better. Are the Cardinals a better team than the Jets?
Well, that's part what he wrote. Yeah, he said the marriage between the former UCLA star and the Cardinals is perfect. I mean, it's just perfect because it's a team that won 8 games last year with half their guys hurt.
Although I printed this story out, I haven't read it yet. Mike Clay, ESPN. The Browns are a legit wild card sleeper.
I can see that.
The Browns, ESPN today.
I can see them winning legit 6-7 games next year. Wild card might be a little strong, but I could see them winning 6 or 7 games. They're gonna be. Eventually, it's got to turn, doesn't it? Eventually, it's got to turn there.
Yes,
has to.
Yeah.
Law of averages.
Unless they got the wrong guy.
Unless
Baker Mayfield's the worst out of the group.
Most likely week one starter among rookie quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, according to the author.
I agree with that.
Most likely rookie leader in passing yards, Baker Mayfield, Cleveland, because they're going to be playing from behind all the time.
And okay.
He's going to have to gun it around a bunch.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting too. Either way, the praise continues to be heaped on the Cardinals for drafting Josh Rosen. And more than that, today I saw Mel Kiper's way too early big board for 2019.
Oh, I've been looking at the 2019 mock drafts that are coming out already. So it's a way too early 2019. I'm like, wow, geez. All right, what did it have?
Well, the thing that was interesting to me.
What stood out to you about the Kiper big board for 2019?
There were only two quarterbacks on it. There were only two quarterbacks in the top 25, and the highest rated one was Drew Locke out of Missouri, and that was at number 16.
Okay.
And the second highest rated one was Justin Herbert from Oregon at number 18. And it got me thinking, I wonder if in part the reason to be aggressive in getting Josh Rosen this year is knowing that next year, quarterback class ain't any good. And you better go get one now.
Last couple of quarterbacks have come out of Oregon. Well, Mariota's okay. Akili Smith was terrible. Joey Harrington was terrible.
Yeah.
Mariota's okay.
Yeah, you can't. So, I know you're trying to get under Maloney's skin, but she's in there working. She's not paying attention.
So the point is that getting Rosen now was better than waiting to try to get a quarterback next
potentially,
year.
Don't you think? If you're evaluating the quarterback, I mean, don't you
if
have
to? If you evaluate the quarterbacks for next year and you don't see a great quarterback in the class right now.
Yeah.
Now, that can change. We all know I haven't played a game yet.
Sure.
I mean, once they start playing football games in September and October, November, I wonder how many of these guys were? Where was Josh Allen last year at this time on a big board?
Number 3.
Ooh, okay. So he was on the radar.
Number 3. Sam Darnold was number 1.
Okay.
Josh Rosen was number 7.
Rosen was 7. What was Lamar Jackson?
Not on the big board.
And he was drafted in the first round.
Baker Mayfield, not on the big board.
And he was number 1 overall.
He was number 1 overall.
Baker Mayfield was not on the big board.
We pulled up Mel Kiper's 2018 way too early big board from a year ago.
Give me the top 5 quarterbacks.
There were only 3. Darnold, Allen, Rosen. Those are the only ones who made the list.
Darnold, Allen, Rosen. Okay. And Rosen was, where'd you say Rosen?
Rosen was 7.
7th overall?
On the big board, yeah.
On the big board.
Number
okay,
7
so
overall.
He was ranked pretty high.
Yeah, he was ranked pretty high.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, look, Kiper's big board from a year ago, he got number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 6, number 7, and number 9 were all players that went in the first round. In fact, he got 10
Better
players.
Better his big board than he is his mock draft.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I think guys like that are better at big boards than they are mock drafts.
Because you're evaluating an entire group instead of just pinpoint one player.
You're just evaluating
team.
A player. Mm-hmm. When you do a mock draft, you're trying to predict intentions and directions and whether a team likes a guy, whether a team doesn't like a guy. When you're doing a big board, all you're doing is ranking players. I like this player one, this player two.
I would say about 90, I'm not 90, but 75% of all the Cardinal news we have right now is something that related to Josh Rosen.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
People are.
Now, obviously, we've talked about the fullback position today, and we've talked about the safety position today because we've had a little news that we were able to get, I was able to get. So we've talked about some other things. But a lot of the talk has been about Josh Rosen. Now, if the Cardinals had never drafted a quarterback, we'd be in that wait-and-see mode. All right? Then all of the eggs would be in the Sam Bradford basket, all of them. They would all be right there.
Well, if the Cardinals hadn't done that, we'd be looking at this big board way differently, wouldn't we? If the Cardinals hadn't drafted Josh Rosen, wouldn't we look at those way too early 2019 mock drafts and the way too early big boards? You bet we would.
Okay, there was only one other quarterback after Rosen that they would have drafted. Okay, after the first three were off the board, if Rosen would have got taken before the Cardinals, there was only one quarterback they had their eye on, only one, that was Kyle Laletta.
Mm-hmm.
If they had drafted Kyle Laletta, would you still be looking at that big board the same way? Or would you be looking at Laletta would we be talking about Laletta as possibly replacing Bradford this year?
No.
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 You're sitting for the year no matter what.
Yeah.
Glennon's playing before you are.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you get Josh Rosen, it just changes the whole way you view this, it changes when you draft Josh Rosen versus Kyle Laletta.
They would have tried to draft Laletta if they didn't get Rosen.
Yeah.
That's the only quarterback they were willing to take after that. They didn't like Lamar Jackson. They didn't like Mason Rudolph. They didn't like Luke Falk. They didn't like those guys. So after Rosen, the only guy they had their eye on was Laletta.
Jordan went back and looked at Kuiper's way too early big board from a year ago. It is interesting. I mentioned the three quarterbacks that were on it, Darnold, Allen, and Rosen. 10 players from his way too early big board a year ago went in the first round. 4 went in the second round, including Christian Kirk, who was number 5 on his way too early big board a year ago.
Really?
That's how highly he thought of Christian Kirk a year ago. He was number 5. On his way too early big board. 5 players went in the third round, 1 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth, 1 went undrafted.
Who?
Tavarius McFadden. And 3 stayed in college. 3 didn't even come out.
All right.
So he had pretty good success. He did all right. Yeah. I mean, he had, what,
only
14 players that went in the first two rounds?
No, but only 1 not getting drafted. 3 guys went back to college. I don't blame them for that. But only 1 not getting drafted at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he missed.
No, your point on this whole thing is a good point. The point is real simple. Jumping ahead to get Rosen now is better than waiting for a quarterback next year because the quarterback class right now that'll change. It will change. There will be a quarterback that gets drafted in the top 10 next year, okay?
Of course there will.
There will be. It's going to happen.
Top five.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Another name that was on Kuiper's way too early big board, N'Keal Harry. Wide receiver.
From ASU.
Arizona State University.
I love that kid.
He was number 22.
That kid is good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He runs. He's just big. I love him on the sideline. Him on the sideline going up and getting balls, turning around. He's got good size. He's got great hands. He runs great routes. I like him on the sideline. Not an over-the-middle player. Run him down the sideline, put the ball up for him. He's coming down with it. I like N'Keal Harry.
6'4". Harry has a big catch radius.
Oh, he does.
Been a big target since he arrived in Tempe.
Yeah,
he can
just throw the ball his way.
Dominant
he's coming down
in the red
with
zone. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we did that poll for Arizona Sports where we listed the most popular players. I almost put N'Keal Harry on my list.
Really?
I almost did. He almost made like the very back end of the list. I think he is great. And I think he's going to have he's got Manny Wilkins coming back. So he's got a comfortable relationship with his quarterback. I think he's going to have a big year. And he's gone. As long as he has a good year,
oh, yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's legit.
Yeah.
I like him. I like him a lot. Good player.
Speaking of ASU, the slogan is Fear the Fork. And apparently that slogan extends to their head coach as well. We'll explain why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The train got derailed on the other side of the glass there for a minute.
What does this remind you of?
It doesn't remind me of the same thing it reminds you of.
The Soul Train.
Yeah, no, it doesn't remind
me of
that.
With that little line that they would have. It was a TV show, and it was a dancing show called The Soul Train. And they would play this song, and then they'd have like two lines, and then somebody would dance, go down a line, and another person would dance and go down a line, then another person would dance. I'm telling you, Google it. The Soul Train.
Google it, my young crunk brothers.
Come on, ride the train.
Yeah, no.
I'm on the train.
Get on the train. We'll save you a seat. If you don't want to get on the train, that's fine. We'll save you a seat on the train later.
I will ride this train until it stops. It's not going to stop.
The same day that Herm Edwards got introduced, of course, he infamously seemed to, on the surface, not know that the name Devils and that the word Devils was actually part of ASU's mascot arrangements.
Coach Rubino, Devils Digest.
Digest, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where you located, my man?
Right here in Tempe.
Okay, Devils Digest, okay. I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils. Just saying.
Well, you can see,
we're good, brother.
You can see devils all over the place.
I ain't taking it personal.
I hope not, because you're coaching about 100 devils. So I hope you don't take it personally. Herm Edwards, the coach of ASU, gave an interview to USA Today, and there was a lot of little interesting tidbits in there. And we thought we'd share a couple with you because it's kind of funny. Some wondered, in all seriousness, did Edwards even know the ASU mascot was the Sun Devils? Quote, "It's funny. I was messing with the guy. I was being funny. That's how I am. I like to have fun. I think people that just knew me know, go, oh, there's Coach. He's having fun."
Possible.
The one thing he said that threw him a little was to learn that Arizona State's primary logo is no longer Sparky the Sun Devil, but instead a pitchfork, which he says, quote, "looks like a candle," close quote. Sparky is, quote, "the best one. I mean, come on," close quote.
Man, you got to worry about winning some football games before you start worrying about the mascot and the name. Man, you win some football games, and then you've got the ability to change some things.
Sure.
You haven't won a game yet, just worry about winning football games, Coach.
Camp Tonizona.
Just worry about winning football.
Change the name of Camp
Tonizona.
Right,
Camp Tonizona,
right.
And I'm going to cut players, right? He's been cutting players.
It's funny. He did bring that up. Remember, this is what he said on April 3rd.
You know, college football is one of those unique sports in the fact that you give out 85 scholarships, and I think sometimes these players just think, well, it's 85 scholarships, so I'm good. No, you're not good. You've earned a scholarship because of your ability to be a student athlete. You got to make sure you handle that part of the assignment, being the student part, and then being an athlete part. It's a combination of both. And when you don't meet that standard, there's consequences. And the consequences are sometimes tough, but I think it's a learning process for a lot of these young guys. And if I don't obviously apply those consequences, then I'm not doing my job as a head coach. So that's kind of where it's at right now.
He said that back in April. He addressed that in the USA Today. Quote, "you know what? Everybody does it. This is not the first that's ever been done in college football, but you know what? I said it. Most don't say it. I gave the players forewarning. Guys, this is how it works, okay? No one's fault. I'm not pointing at you. Your resume is on that tape. This is how it works." Close
sure.
quote.
Yeah,
and
I
you
mean,
know what? I'll give him credit. He's right. He's right. It goes on in every program in America. He just said it. "I'm going to cut you. You're not going to play. You're not." And it's unusual to hear a coach come out and say that, because it would be so easy to have that brought against you in recruiting. Why would you want to go to ASU? They're going to cut you there.
Because the easiest thing to do is just tell a kid, "Hey, you're not playing, so you should transfer." And then a kid, you hit a freshman up, and that freshman's not good enough to play, and you've given that kid a scholarship. You just tell that kid, "Hey, maybe the kid's a wide receiver. You're like ninth on my depth chart, man. You're not going to play." And that kid transfers.
Sure.
And then you're out of it. That's what most coaches do. You convince the kid to leave without saying, "I'm going to cut you." You just convince the kid to leave. "You want to play football, right? Yeah, you're not going to be able to play here.
Yeah.
You're not going to play.
And
you're going to be buried on the bench."
And by doing that, you have, in essence, cut the kid.
Yeah. Cut his legs out from under him. You told him he's not going
right.
to play.
It's a different way of doing it. It's a technicality, but you have, in essence, told him, "You are not going to play football for me." Did I cut you from the team? No. But did I mostly cut you from the team because I told you you're not going to play for me? Yeah, I did. So you might want to go explore other options. It's the same thing. Herm is just admitting, this is what we do. This is how it works. And,
right.
and I guess now that I've got the time to think about it, in some ways I appreciate I should say, that he's being so blunt about it. It might come back to bite him in the butt in recruiting and whatnot, but I do appreciate his honesty about it, I guess.
John Wilner from the probably the best Pac-12 writer in the country, right? The San Jose Mercury News.
Big fan of John.
Analyzing the 2018 schedules, Herm Edwards' rude welcome. And he goes through all the schedules, and Arizona has the easiest. And then he goes from 12 all the way to 1. And the team with the toughest schedule, he has Arizona State. Non-conference lineup, UTSA, Michigan State, San Diego State. Conference misses, Cal and Washington State. Toughest stretch, back-to-backs against Michigan State and San Diego. Michigan State, San Diego State, and Washington with the latter two on the road. And here's his comment. I picked the September triple whammy as the toughest stretch, but the final 6 weeks are unforgiving too. In every regard, the schedule staring back at Herm Edwards is the antithesis.
There you go. Whoa, there you go. You're turning into Ron Wolfley before our very eyes.
Of what awaits Kevin Sumlin. Could be getting smarter as I get older.
Could be.
Antithesis of what awaits Kevin Sumlin. He's got ASU with the toughest schedule in the conference and U of A with the easiest schedule in the conference in this first year.
Yeah,
the both coaches.
The final six games he's referring to. Home against Stanford, at USC, home against Utah, home against UCLA, at Oregon, at U of A. That's how they close.
A lot of new coaches in the Pac-12 and a lot of new quarterbacks in the Pac-12. So I think it could be, you know, the schedule's tough, but it could be kind of wide open a little bit. There are lots of new coaches and lots of new quarterbacks in this conference this year.
Yeah, the one, he's right, though. Home against Michigan State on September 8th, at San Diego State a week later on September 15th, at Washington a week later on September 22nd. That is
tough. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to win many games this year. I know they wanted to win right away. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Herm's going to take a beating this year. They're going to lose a lot of football games.
You put a number on it? Right now, today, on May 10th, you're going to put a number on it?
Four wins.
Four? Yeah. Four or five.
you're right there with me.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
Four wins.
I think against the schedule, it's going to be really, really tough. Really tough. But, you know, like with all things with Herm Edwards, okay? And in some ways, it's like the same standard we've applied to Josh Rosen, okay? Talk all you want. Say whatever you want. We'll, you know, whatever it is that brings you attention, we're going to talk about it. But at the end of the day, you're going to be judged by one thing and one thing only. When you get on that field, do you win football games or not? Wow. And Herm Edwards is the same way. You can talk about trains and scholarships and candles and devils and all that you want. We're going to judge you on one thing and one thing only. When you're the coach of that football team, do you win games? That's all we care about. And if you do, you can say all you want about candles and scholarships and all that nonsense. But if you don't, that's what you're going to be judged on.
We are in that same wait and see mode with Herm Edwards, with Kevin Sumlin, with Josh Rosen, with Igor Kokoskov,
sure,
with Steve Wilks. I mean, think about how much we're in that mode of
new.
We can talk all we want, but we need to get some games under our belt to see if you're good at what you do.
No doubt. Time for your slice of history brought to you by NYPD Pizza, authentically New York.
I had a slice of that yesterday.
Passionately Arizona 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
2 days
ago. Slice of Sicilian.
I remember what you had for lunch better than you did. On this day in 2017, after leaving the game on April 23rd with tightness in his right forearm, D-backs pitcher Shelby Miller underwent successful Tommy John surgery. Could be back soon. Another month.
Didn't have like a happy note. You had to come up with a sad note.
I read what Tommy they John hand surgery? Me. I'm like Ron Burgundy in Anchorman. If it's on the prompter, I read it.
San Diego.
they hand me a piece of paper. I read it.
We should honestly try something one day to see if he says it. Something.
Bernsie's pretty good about that.
Yeah.
He kind of self edits as he goes along.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Everything else May 10th was pretty depressing as well. One, it was year after year after year, the Suns lost playoff games on May 10th.
I appreciate you not pouring salt into that one.
Yeah, not only was it that they were losing games, but it also was a pretty stark reminder of how long it's been since they were in the playoffs. So I thought this was the lesser of the evils.
I appreciate that. I do, you know, to your point, the morning show likes to tease me every now and then. There was one time when I was doing updates. I think it might have been on your show. I was doing an update on your show. And the tagline, I was supposed to read the line, look closer. but they didn't put the C in front of closer, and it said loser.
Loser.
And I read it. And I read it thinking that, hey, look, loser, go buy a car from this dealership. And what I was supposed to say was, look closer, go buy a car from this dealership.
Look, loser.
But I read it, and I thought, man, that's some pretty bold advertising right there. But okay, I'll say it. Hey, that's what the piece of paper says. It says, look, loser, go buy a car. I'm going to say it. So I said it. Look, loser, go buy a car.
Hey, loser.
And every now and then on the morning show, Doug in particular loves to hold that one against because, yes, I will sometimes just...
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Maybe you were talking to certain people out there.
Could have been. ASU slogan is... When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll talk about ASU a little bit later. That's all right. Don't worry about it. When we come back, the struggles of Patrick Corbin. Is it a thing or is it about to become a thing? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.